We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 488, brought to you today by DoorDash. You can get $5 off and zero delivery fees of a $15 order or more with code BLUEWIRE, and also our friends BetOnline, where you can bet on a ton of sports action right now at betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. I got those out. Scott, so I guess the plan wasn't start Devi Garcia. It was open with Devi Garcia, try and pull a fast one on the Rays and bring in Jay Happ after they stack their lineup with lefties and try and steal a couple outs that way. So, knowing what the actual plan was, do you still like what they did, or would you have rather seen Tanaka start?
Now, knowing this, I would have rather see Tanaka start. I would have also rather seen Devi Garcia get some work in there. There was
fair, but that was never going to happen.
No, that was clearly, never going to happen. Clearly,
this was the plan.
That clearly was not going to happen. This is some very similar to a scenario that we brought up last night with Jordan Montgomery, but he might be your game four starter now.
He's got to be, right?
Unless Perhaps. Davey Garcia, that was, but you, okay, you yeah. think that the buildup, the warm-up, the whole deal for Devi Garcia today was essentially getting ready for a start, was it not? I mean,
well, no, because if they told him you're one inning anyway, maybe he didn't have to throw as many,
I guess,
warm-up pitches and stuff, but
still got to get up. But he's not a relief pitcher, so he's got to get used to getting into a game, and usually as a starter, you go through your motions, whatever it is. It's not a relief. These guys aren't out there, like, you know, windmilling for 5 minutes and getting ready.
But it's getting tricky, and when you get tricky, things can go wrong.
For sure. There's no doubt. There was definitely a little bit of Boone trying to play chess with Kevin Cash, and Kevin Cash just like, okay, I mean, your lefty's Jay Happ.
Well, right. So here was the reason. I actually pulled some numbers during the game. So because I was like, what the hell is going on?
It had to have been a nerd. And there was a nerd behind this.
And I'll tell you exactly what it was. The Rays as a team this year against left-handed pitching, they crush the ball. They're 121 WRC plus because they can put in a bunch of right-handed hitters in there. Mm-hmm. Against righties, they're 105 WRC plus, so much closer to league average. So what the Yankees nerds were thinking is, we don't want to tell them we're starting J Happ or tell them we're starting Jordan Montgomery and allow them to put their optimal offense for a left-handed starter in there. We want to try and trick them. So I'm not even totally against that plan. It's not that stupid. It's just not as good of a plan as starting your second best pitcher, Masahiro Tanaka, in a game two. That is a better plan. That is a simpler plan where you can get 5+ innings out of Tanaka of what I would imagine is quality performance, because he's always been quality. And and guess what? They got 4 runs off of Glass.
That's where the kicker is. That the shit kicker for this game is the fact that they got to. Well, let me. Stanton got to Glass.
He dominated everybody else. But we said the Yankees got to Blake Snell last night, and they did. 5 innings, 4 runs. Guess what the line was for Glass now tonight? 5 innings, 4 runs. The exact same thing. So if you had Tanaka,
it felt very different.
It felt very different, yeah. But the end of the day, it was 4 runs in 5 innings. Mm-hmm. So if you have Tanaka matching him or even besting him, it's a totally different game. So I get what they were trying to do. It's a little too tricky for me in game 2. Do it in game 3 or game 4 if you must.
I feel like after you looked at the numbers and what the thought process was, you actually don't hate it as much.
But I still hate it for game 2 when you have Tanaka ready to go.
Yeah, so game 3... If you have Tanaka ready to go, I still think that a lot of this was the fact that Glasnow was on the mound and they feel like they have a much better opportunity. And I don't know what the numbers say, but I'm sure the nerds are, they obviously are behind this one because that's who's running the show right this very minute, that they have a better opportunity to win against Tanaka versus Morton rather than Tanaka versus Glasnow. The odds, I would have to assume that they are in the favor of that matchup, right? Do you not agree with that? And it feels feels. I saw Nick Kirby tweeting about this. Like, was this a punt game after they went up 5-1?
Well, once they sent J Happ out there after it was already 5-1, and they sent him back out there, like J Happ escaped trouble. That could have been way worse.
Oh yeah,
he escaped trouble.
Two runners on. It could have been one more base hits. Is 7-1, and then
7-1,
from there,
and then it's
guess what? J Happ better be pitching 150 pitches. If he pitches less than 150 in this day, I'm pissed.
Well,
if that
do you
happens.
Honestly?
It was. They were in
though?
Limbo. They were actually. It was getting to be a bad scenario because now. When Stanton hit that home run, they're like, yes, but now we're like in a weird place.
Now what do you do?
Do you actually right. like unload the bullpen even though you weren't thinking? And then, I mean, you do. You have 5-4, you have to try to win that game. Of course you do.
Well, they didn't bring in any of the big 3. So that sets it up for tomorrow. So basically they're in a situation, and who knows, maybe they thought this going in. Win game 1 with Cole, punt game 2, win game 3 with Tanaka, punt game 4, win game 5 with Cole. Maybe that was their plan all along.
I mean, just why not throw lightning in a bottle in one of those for real and just let Davey Garcia pitch? Why not?
I mean, maybe we'll get it.
It wouldn't have worked out also, most likely, because he threw, I think, 26 pitches in the first inning.
27.
27 pitches in the first inning. So you get to
he
that
He was going to go 4 innings. He was probably going to go 3+ innings.
He was not going to do anything crazy by any means. So, you know, the way that it played out, is that Davey Garcia wasn't going to be the guy. It's just seeing J Happ out there warming up, just even before he's in
immediately.
Trouble.
And yeah, immediately. Yeah. As soon as they went to the bullpen, when there was one out and they showed that bullpen and J Happ was warming up, I said, oh no, they're trying to get tricky. Oh no, are they really doing this? And then it set in, oh shit, yep, they're really doing this. They're actually going to do this.
Yeah, and it's J Happ instead of Montgomery. I
don't hate that. I don't hate that either, because J Happ has been better this year than Jordan Montgomery.
Well, I mean, you're leaving one of them to most likely pitch game 4. So it depends what you're asking for here. Do you want Montgomery to come in the quote punt game after Davey Garcia, or do you want him starting game four?
It wasn't a punt game. Maybe it turned into a punt game after they got down big. It was a let's try and trick the Rays. Let's try and outraise the Rays.
It's just a strange thing to do with the amount of versatility and starting lineups that they have. It's not the team to do that with. Okay, the numbers they have. I'm just saying, they can mix and match.
I'm agreeing
fine
with you.
It's just
also
comfortable.
The ironic thing is,
it's a weird time to do it against them. Like Kevin Cash is like, yeah, he's trying to trick us. Like, I mean, I guess. I have no more confidence in that guy than that guy, or that guy and that guy and that guy. It's like it doesn't matter. They just plug in dudes.
The ironic thing is, like, did J-Hap get a lefty out all night? I feel like every lefty up,
he couldn't find the goddamn strike zone.
It's like, oh. And maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe Tanaka, they go out and they cruise to a 6-1 win on game three. And we're like, oh my God, you know, the plan's working out. I don't think you can fully assess this mastermind plan until we know the result of the series. But the fact that they got
four runs off glass now, though, makes it look worse to me. Because those runs did come, and thank you, Giancarlo Stanton, who's a man on a mission. I mean, the guy's chopping wood out there and just mashing.
Oh my God,
the ball.
That second home run was one of the most mammoth home runs you'll ever see.
Oh, and Glasnow's reaction was outstanding. He was just highly pissed.
And who knows? Maybe the offense struck out 18 times tonight.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Why the F is CB Buckner umpiring a playoff game?
He's the absolute worst. That was the worst home plate umpired game I've ever seen in my life.
I'm not going to sit here and blame the umpires.
You can't blame because he was so bad on both sides.
Yeah.
The ninth inning was terrible, and I'm happy the Gleyber at bat didn't actually. Yeah.
Oh my God. That was a foot outside and high. Yeah.
So Gleyber actually walked, so that one technically did not hurt them. But then there was a couple of weird calls against Frazier where I thought he missed two strikes.
He gave the breaking ball down in the zone?
Yeah. Mm. And then he gave the Rays a strike. So it was horrendous all around.
He made Frazier swing at that pitch.
Yes, he did. It was horrendous. I don't know how... It was so bad for both sides. There was a point in that ninth inning where he didn't get one call right. He called four strikes and not one of them was accurate.
and the balls were strikes.
And the two breaking balls at the bottom of the zones were strikes.
Yeah,
so,
people are blaming
CB Buckner, and I
get it. It's an easy thing to do.
But 18 walks, strikeouts.
I mean, so if that's the case, like J-Hap should not be walking guys if he's getting that much outside the zone too. A lot of this was on J-Hap, the fact that he couldn't keep the ball in the freaking park. I mean, those home runs were huge. Stanton tried to get this team back in. DJ, of course, in the ninth inning to let Judge get that at bat.
Approach against Fairbanks I thought was terrible. Fairbanks in the ninth inning was clearly had no command. He was nervous. He was sweating. And then you've got Gleyber up there swinging 2-0 at a pitch out of the strike zone. And who knows, maybe CB Buckner calls it a strike anyway. We'll never know.
That's the thing. When you have a guy back there that's just that dog shit and you have no idea, you can't trust, you have to swing at everything almost or anywhere close. You have to swing it. It's like literally again, like if you got to protect the plate, but that's what they're doing. I don't mind the 2-0 swinging for Gleyber.
What does a two-run home run do though?
It just puts more pressure on. I mean, you have those two runs have to score at some point.
I kind of believe in making the pitcher throw a strike when he literally cannot throw a strike.
I mean, that's fine. But again, you may get a completely horrible
you
call
might get
like
a gift.
He did
yeah.
that he should have walked, two pitches before the time he actually walked.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Gary, terrible at bat. And then
Gary just couldn't hit the fastball. I mean, the ball, he was just like, here it is. Bam, throwing down the gut. Couldn't hit a goddamn thing.
Judges looked bad too.
Yeah.
Bad. I mean, one strike call on him was not legit, but he's looked rough. But this game comes down to this opener situation that just flat out didn't work. It didn't work
because J-Hap didn't execute. And you know, you're looking at that in-game interview with Aaron Boone and they were trying to ask him about this exact move and like what was the thought process here and Hap's gonna get us to the back of the back of the bullpen. He's easy to get us there. So a lot of confidence in a guy you guys have had no confidence in all year.
So they were just trying to get Hap the best possible matchup they could so he could go six innings. That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
It's just, that's Urzano was banking on a lot of things going well.
Starting off.
Who?
What's his first name? Ronnie? Arizano.
I don't know. Arizuena.
I don't think you're saying it right.
Arizuena?
And I think what's throwing me off right now is I'm in the notes here, I think you spelled it wrong. And you spelled it like you're saying it, which is really fucking me up, to be honest.
How do you say it?
I got to look to see how it's actually spelled now.
I thought it's Arizuena.
It's killing me. I can't think.
It's Arozarena.
Yeah, you have a U in there. You have a U in there.
But it's Arizuena? Arizuena. I don't know.
I need to see it on my own now. He's destroying the ball. He was betting like 600 in the playoffs up until the last two at bats. But I mean, first inning, you know, he's the guy that jumps on you. Granted, good piece of hitting. I mean, you know, it was a fastball up. I mean, it wasn't a terrible pitch.
No, but you're kind of unfortunately at a situation now where if he comes up with nobody on base and if he comes up in a situation where you don't have to throw him strikes, you can't throw him strikes if it's a one run game or a two run game, because he's been hitting the ball, he's been crushing the ball.
Yeah, and this is what I feared was that Austin Meadows was going to get back on track in this series, and of course he hits a home run.
So they were planning, they understood, we're going to try this opener situation. Best case scenario, Hap gives us length and we steal outs because he's pitching against a weakened lineup. But they had to have known that this situation would have happened and they would have had to use multiple guys in the bullpen. So they had to go to Ottavino, who, I mean, he wasn't terrible, but at the same time, he did walk a leadoff hitter after being up in the count 0-2. And then Loaiza comes in, allows his inherited runner to score, gives up the home run to Meadows. Are those two guys unusable at this point? Because Holder looked pretty good. Hell, Nick Nelson looked pretty good.
Nick Nelson did look good. Every time I see him, I think of the kid from Breaking Bad every single time. It's very hard to get out of my head.
The
nephew. I think he's the nephew at the...
Of the Nazis?
Yeah.
The blonde kid who was also in Fargo?
Yeah, I couldn't make
Fargo season two?
I did not watch that, but yes, that kid. Oh, anyway, he looks
so
exactly
good.
Like
it's
him.
A new season.
Rosarena. It's Rosarena, by the way. Rosarena. I'm looking at it now, spelled correctly. Randy Rosarena. Randy Rosarena. It's like it. The whole thing rolls. Randy Rosarena.
It sounds like you're saying his last name begins with an R.
I know. Anyway, Nick Nelson looked good. Maybe, I mean, that was one of the guys that we were looking at.
Holder looked good too. So I think you got to go after the big three. You got to go Holder and then Luis Sessa and then Nick Nelson.
Loaiza has been bad now.
Bad.
In multiple outings. I don't want to see him anymore. He's giving up too many big... I just don't want to see him anymore. He's lost my confidence. Jonathan Holder can come in
and flip him and Sessa.
Fine. And Jonathan Holder's been there before. Loaiza and Sessa. Jonathan Holder's a guy who has been here before. Like, yes... Not the most confidence lately, but I mean, he's been here before. He's shown that he can do this. It's not he could still flip the switch and be an effective guy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I trust Nick Nelson, but he didn't look bad. And that's all you need at this point. You guys have counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you're craving right to your door. Ordering is extremely easy. You open the DoorDash app, you choose what you want to eat, and the food is delivered right to you safely outside your door, and you can now choose their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. I use it all the time. It's a terrific app, and there's a lot of local restaurants that you can get as well. There are way more than you expect that are included with DoorDash. Bevan and I use this app probably twice a week, so definitely recommend going on and buying it, especially with the code that we're about to give you. Many of the local restaurants are still open for delivery, so you can just use DoorDash, select from their menu, choose the food you want,
and they bring it right to you. And it usually happens pretty fast. And you can track the people as they come, which is fun to know, because now you know when your food is coming exactly to the minute. So right now, all of our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fee with their first order of $15 or more. Just download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. There's also the baseball playoffs going on. Maybe you've heard. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use our promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, to get your welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All you need at this point is just don't suck.
Just, you know, just give me a little bit of something representative. Yeah. I mean, yeah. To be honest, like the
Hold on. It's about, you said it's about you giving confidence, but it's really about who has confidence on the mound, who's on a little bit of a roll, because so much of this is if a guy's going well, then just ride that out.
Well, that's what I mean. That when I see that, that's what gives me confidence. So
right.
that's the thing. I want to see a
guy.
You
got Loaizaga, who has no confidence on the mound. Ottavino, I can't imagine he has any confidence.
I mean, he looked better than, honestly, he looked, if he can get back into a groove, then great.
But look what happened. He walks the leadoff hitter and he immediately steals.
Yes.
It's a disaster.
That's the problem with him. But he's got to not walk people. And he has a problem with that.
He's never been able to not do that.
I mean, for half a season he was good. The Nick Nelson, Jonathan Holder is strangely regaining my confidence. Those are the guys. But you know, the bullpen in this series so far, done okay.
Well, tomorrow,
I'm not counting Jay Happ as a bullpen guy.
Well, really, tomorrow, game three, because they didn't have to use Britton, Chapman, or Green tonight, it's get five innings out of Tanaka and then try and get 12 outs with those three guys. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. So then if you're doing that and you're going back now to, Let's play this out a little bit in our brains. It works, and you're going now into game four with a 2-1. So yeah, it's back to Jordan Montgomery starting, or mm-hmm. maybe you catch lightning a bottle with Jordan Montgomery. I'd say you could catch lightning a bottle with Jordan Montgomery.
Or you piggyback Montgomery 4 innings, Devi Garcia 2 innings, and maybe you're in the game late and then you get a big home run from someone and you win it in game four. But in reality, you're not using any of your big arms out of the bullpen because you're setting up for game five.
So when you become if you're in a situation that you're able to win that game in game four, you still have the ability to throw some of those guys because they didn't throw tonight. It's only, it would be two nights in a row, which is not out of the question by any means.
Yeah, and I think say Chad Green goes 2 innings tomorrow in game three. Maybe he doesn't pitch in game four, but Britton and Chapman obviously do.
Right. So that's the thing. So now you are still in a position.
You play for a close game late in game four is what you do.
Right. Yeah. If you can muster that, if your offense can stay with them, which I have a lot of confidence in. That's the other thing for a game four start against this team. Yankees offense, advantage New York Yankees, whoever they're going to throw.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Which is a positive, knowing that if you have a guy like Jordan Montgomery or you have trying to piece this thing together, you still have one or two guys in the back of that bullpen who late in the game can come in that you and is not overworked at that point, in theory.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just they've obviously thought of all these scenarios.
So maybe I'm coming around to this thing.
Just like last night, you're going to talk yourself into.
Well, no, because it doesn't change the fact that it depends what happens with Davey Garcia. I don't like burning him for an inning. I don't like that move. I think that he could be more used more effectively. Like,
well, he can be. He could even be used tomorrow night.
He's just not used to that. He's a starting pitcher. He's a starting pitcher, and he had to get up and get ready for
a start. You even talked about using him in the bullpen instead of as a starter. Like, you talked about that.
I know, I did, but you're burning him for one inning, and that was it. Like, there was no upside here. What was the upside? You get out of a clean inning, first inning? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I hate. I hate the opener, especially in the playoffs. It's so dumb. It's so much longer to go.
I don't get a one inning opener with a starting pitcher. Like Tampa has done openers in the past where they use a good reliever to get through the top three of a batting order because you got LeMahieu, Judge, and Stanton or something like that. So in theory, I get that. But for this, why even bother with an inning for Devi Garcia? J-Hap could have given up a solo home run to Arizuena or however the fuck you say his name in the first inning.
There's no U. You keep inserting a U in this guy's name. I don't understand the burning for... I mean, unless there was ever intention for him to go two innings. Like, if that home run doesn't happen, does he go two innings? But that's wild. That's crazy to me, because to me, that wasn't a bad home run.
So I believe he got through, he gave up the Arizuena home run. Did I say it right that time?
No, again, no.
And then he got Choi, right? So it was four batters that he faced?
No, Choi got on, I believe, and he got on I think there was a runner on when he got the final out, because there was a ball, the ball bounced back to him, and he barehanded it and then threw it over to first. But there was a runner on first at that point.
So Joey Wendell let off. Yeah, he got Manuel Margot. That was his last batter.
Hit by pitch. He-Man Choi.
Choi hit by pitch. Yeah, and Devi was kind of wild.
It's all right, but get off my plate.
Manuel Margot was a right-handed hitter. He was probably Garcia's last batter no matter what, because Joey Wendell, lefty, led off the second inning. So I think if Wendell was up in the first inning, Hap would have been in the first inning. You don't even get an inning out of Devi Garcia. That was their plan. Have Garcia face the first five hitters. That was their grand plan.
It's a stupid, stupid plan.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's a stupid plan, even if it worked and he gets through the first inning like clean, and then J-Hap comes out. But it's just very risky and dumb and almost just completely unnecessary. That's all. I mean, even if you...
Unnecessary. That's a perfect word for it.
Even if you start J-Hap, it's unnecessary to throw Devi Garcia for those. It just is.
This was all so unnecessary because you had Masahiro Tanaka on a normal pitching schedule. We're not talking about having to bump up Tanaka to short rest or something. Oh, do we want to do that, or we want to give him his normal? He was going to be on normal pitching rest for this game too. It was unnecessary what they did. I now have a clearer picture of why they did it, and I actually hate it less than I did the night before, but I still don't like it. I still think it was just too cute, too complex, too many things could go wrong. Unnecessary is a great word for it.
2 2/3, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 2 home runs.
Hap.
Yeah, that's just a dog shit line.
Yeah, and I don't know if Montgomery's going to be able to give you anything better.
I mean, it really, you know, anything worse than that, like we said, it was damn near a 7-1 game. Anything worse than that,
Hap was able to get out of that inning because of CB Buckner calling 2 terrible pitches on Zunino. So it worked both ways for the Yankees, and they got out of that inning. And I thought that was going to be a turning point, especially when Stanton hit the home run. I was like, okay, there we go. That's the huge momentum swing. They just could never really get anything going. Nick Anderson, filthy. He put the fire out for Tampa. Any chance the Yankees had,
Castillo
was just squashed.
That, through the first inning, his first inning was
right, but
just
Nick
nasty.
Anderson had to come in with 2 on,
and he went
to clean up Castillo, and then he went 2 innings. So that was
18 strikeouts.
The dagger right there. 18 fucking strikeouts.
18 strikeouts. That's not
in a playoff game.
Yeah, that's bad. And the
do you want to give 3 of them? You want to give 3 of them to CB Buckner? 15 strikeouts, still bad. You want to give 8 of them? You want to give 8 of them to CB Buckner? 10 strikeouts, still not that good.
When I'm seeing Gary Sanchez swinging a ball directly down the middle, it's just pissing me off. I mean, he was up 4 times and struck out 3.
At least he recognized the
Clint,
pitches.
Clint struck out three times. Damn. Voit struck out three times. Judge struck out three times. LeMahieu struck out twice. Yo, LeMahieu, you punch LeMahieu out and on a ball.
Curveball.
Look, first of all, LeMahieu does not strike out looking. Okay. If he does, the umpire got it wrong.
Or his arms are broken.
Huh?
Or his arms are broken.
And even then, he's probably going to swing the bat. So, you know, CB Buckner, that's shame on you for striking out. If LeMahieu doesn't swing, obviously it's a ball. I mean, every single umpire knows that. But yeah, no, you get those runners on in the ninth inning. You're like, okay, here we go. You know, This is we got a wild guy out there. His eyes are bugging out of his head. He's sweating and walking back and forth. I think that's part of his annoying routine, but still looked like he was on the ropes. Drilling. He throws hard, but these fastballs are coming over the plate. He's not calling the low breaking ball. So you can almost spit on that.
At least we don't have to deal with him again in this series. He's done for the series at home plate.
Oh, CB Buckner. I thought you meant Fairbanks. Why is Fairbanks done? CB Buckner.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about CB Buckner.
Yeah, I mean, it just may be a horrible call somewhere else. A game-changing call.
People might be thinking, I saw some people talking about this on Twitter. Oh, at least, you know, we have Tanaka going in a 1-1 series right now. We're primed to go up 2-1. And I get that. I don't disagree with that. But if you went up 2-0, then you have two straight chances before you even get to game five in an elimination game for Tampa. That's a totally different situation than 1-1 being up 2-0. Just from how Tampa's going to play, they're back on their heels kind of thing. They lost with Glasnow potentially, where they have to burn through Nick Anderson in this game, and they have to burn through Castillo in this game, and Fairbanks looked wild, and then you're still putting them up against the brink of elimination. So it's totally different if you can go up 2-0. That's why I wanted to take command of the series with Tanaka. The second guess still in my mind is not let Devi Garcia start the whole game, because that was never a reality. They were never going to let him do that, now that we know that. So the second guess has to be just pitch Tanaka.
Or just pitch Hap. If you're gonna start, like, don't. What's the point in wasting? I mean, it's the mind games. You're trying to like set the lineup up so they can't bring in pinch hitters and shit. Like, that did not work. Like, that chess move's not working against this team. I'm sorry,
it didn't work. So, I think obviously it's just probably silly to say winner of game three wins the series. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't think it's definite. Winner of game three wins the series? No, I cannot say that.
Well, I think that because if the Yankees win, then we're probably going to see a punt game in game four, and then they've got Cole in game five. And if they have Cole in game five, but
Snell, who's, you know, their 1/2 is going to be, and you know Glasnow is going to be coming back for that game too on short rest.
But if the Rays win, then they're going up against Jordan Montgomery, and they hit Hap today. They hit lefties. This team hits lefties. So they're going up against Jordan Montgomery and facing elimination.
Jay Hap and Jordan Montgomery are just very different lefties, though. They pitch differently. They have different stuff. The arm angle is way different. They're not that similar. I know they throw from the same hand, but they're not that similar. And to be fair, again, for Jordan Montgomery, like, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here a little bit, but in 2 2/3 innings, Jay Hap also walked three guys. So, you know, those balls that were hit out, you know, the guy had been wild all day. So all they had to do was sit on his own and just, you know, sit on their back heels and just crank. J-Hap was bad. I mean, it's hard to describe it, put anybody against him right now. Montgomery will pitch better. If he doesn't, then they're both dog shit. But it's hard to say which one smells worse.
I mean, you say Montgomery will pitch better.
I'm just saying, you really can't pitch that much worse, to be honest.
What do you base that on other than...
Nothing, that you can't pitch that much worse. That's what it is.
Okay, fine. Because Montgomery was not good this year.
He showed some flashes at the end of the season. Anyway, game four will be interesting. I think, like we said, if they can get to a close game, I think because the offense is going to be primed for that game. And you put our offense against their offense against two pitchers that, you know, probably have no business pitching in this game. I like our chances still. If we're going to have a slugfest.
What if they bullpen?
When they will. They probably will. It depends. You have to. So you have to do damage against. I mean, that's a long game to bullpen. If you can pull it off in game four of the series, we'll see. I mean, that means things have been going well for you. If you're able to pull off a bullpen game in game four,
I think both pitching staffs are going to be really struggling by game four because of this no off days thing. So it's not just unique to the Yankees. Like the Rays bullpen is going to be fried too. Nick Anderson's probably not going to be able to pitch. Certainly not going to be able to pitch multiple innings in game three.
How many pitches did Castillo pitch? He threw a bunch of pitches because he only has one inning in the book. One inning in the book.
But he pitched to three batters in the next inning, too.
Yeah, but he also got through that first inning, I think, with like six pitches. It was 24. 20, not less than I thought. 24, because he got through that first inning very clean.
I mean, their plan, just like the Yankees' plan, is get five out of Morton and then go to the bullpen.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
So it might be a race to the fifth inning. Who's got the lead in the fifth inning?
Yeah, it's going to be important to get to Morton for sure. There's no doubt. Especially, I think it's, you know, putting some good at-bats against Morton, driving his pitch count up. Because clearly around at 100, they're yanking guys every single time. They're not even letting guys get to 100. And talking to, talking to the guys down in Tampa.
His name is Kevin
Weiss. Thank you. They just all season long they have not let their guys go beyond and really into the third time through very often. So 100 pitches I'd say is still pretty close to max for them. So if you get to Morton early, at least work the count, you know, get that pitch count up. That's a very, very positive thing. I think they need to do that.
Yeah, I think the offense will be able to get a couple off of Morton.
I mean,
like I could see it being exactly the same situation. Five innings, four runs, just like they did the first two games.
Yeah. And Tanaka just has to hold them at bay. Hold them at bay.
Tanaka just needs to be one run better than that.
Playoff Tanaka. Can I have a couple? Can I have two runs better than that? Trust the bullpen. Don't trust the bullpen that much.
All right. So wild development early in this game. Didn't work out. I mean, that's all you got to say. I think if they win the series, this is forgotten about. If they lose the series, I think people are going to really focus on this.
Well, I mean, we're going to be talking about it a lot in game four because it just depends on who's throwing, how they're throwing, what that bullpen looks like. I don't think it's going to be as much tomorrow because Tanaka's going to be on the mound. So that's all we're happy to see Tanaka at this point, but you're right. They could have gone up 2-0. Especially now seeing that there were four runs up against Glasnow. But that's really something that's very hard to predict. And I think that was a big part of the decision. I haven't heard him say that, but I...
Well, they're never going to say that.
No. I mean, I could see them going, you know, coach speak around it. But reading between the lines, they weren't expecting to get a lot off Glasnow. And they were right. They were right if Stanton didn't connect on two pitches.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, these are no days off, man. Whew.
It's 7 p.m. start, game three. Thankfully.
It's the players and the podcast. The podcasters matter too. Jesus.
The second half, like the seventh, eighth, ninth of this game tonight actually went quickly, but it was like 10:45 in the sixth inning. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. All right, that's it. Hopefully the Yankees can turn things around in game three. We'll be back for another podcast after that.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.